Welcome back again, people. Another podcast with yours truly, Craig Heist, along with MLB.com beat writer of the Nationals, Bill Latson. Well, we got the Battle of the Beltways going on this weekend, and I think, you know, for as long as this series has gone on, we've often heard people say it's never going to become a rivalry until both these teams are playing well. Well, this year, that's what we have.
Yes, Craig, and, you know, and that's great to see, and that means the fans will be coming. So far, it's going to be interesting to see how far the Nationals can go because their offense has been sputtering basically all year long. And when you look at the Orioles, their hitting has been outstanding, and you would hope that their pitching is keeps going because that's really helped them so far.
Well, you know, it's funny. You know, the Nationals' bullpen has been the strength of this club over the last couple of years, and really so far this year, too, the same way. However, the Orioles' bullpen has been lights out and was again in the first game of this series on Friday night.
It sure was, and it's really weird because, you know, when you see an Orioles game, especially the last few years, it always seems like they just couldn't hold the lead. And it's a different story now, especially since they added Luis Ayala. And I even like their guy, Pedro Strop. He really looked good for that 11th inning, so it's really great to see them do well.
Well, Strop has been a guy who's set up Jim Johnson, and Buck has had to use Jim Johnson several days in a row now. So the one thing I know he wants to do is keep this bullpen healthy. He's not going to overuse guys. To me, it's still going to boil down to how well they pitch from a starting standpoint the rest of the year. But you got guys in that rotation, and all of a sudden, everybody yelled about Dan Duquette and what he was doing in the offseason, but all of a sudden that Jeremy Guthrie trade to Denver looks pretty good.
It looks real good, Craig, and I got to tell you, I think a lot of people are surprised how far this starting staff has really gone so far. I mean, even on Friday, it looked real good. So
Arrieta was really good. Yeah,
right, exactly. And, you know, you hope that it will continue, and I think it will for some reason.
All right, Nationals. Got a great effort out of Edwin Jackson, but again, as you said, the offense struggled against Arrieta. Basically, Markakis with the home run off of Ryan Matthews in the 11th. But I think that's just one of those games where, hey, the Orioles got the big hit in there, the Nationals didn't. You tee it up the next day and go on.
True, but I will keep saying this. The Nationals need a difference maker. And to me right now, they need, when I say a difference maker, I'm talking about a guy like Vladimir Guerrero. He's the best player I've ever covered since I've covered this organization. A guy who can carry the team for a month, that can hit about 15 homers, driving 40 runs, and who can win the games by himself. Right now, I don't think the Nationals have that right now.
Let's get back to just the idea of these two teams being so close in proximity. And you had the Oriole fans come down the first night. You're going to get sellout crowds or very close to that for the three games here. If they're still at or near the top of their respective divisions by the time the middle of June rolls around when they play again at Camden Yards, this has a chance to really turn into something.
I agree with you, Craig. Again, it's going to come down to, you know, where they can beat the big teams. Now, to me, the Orioles have shown, so far, anyway, they can compete with the Rangers, teams like the Rays, and even the Yankees. And I think that's a good sign. That's the biggest sign, because that's been the Orioles, you know, stumbling block over the years. As far as the Nationals are concerned, the big test is going to come in the next couple of weeks when they play the Marlins, the Phillies. We'll know for sure if they're really going to be in this race.
And by the time the All-Star break rolls around, you could probably be looking at a Steven Strasburg, maybe an Adam LaRoche, as guys who are maybe all-stars.
I would say so, definitely. Adam LaRoche, to me, I think for everyone, has been the biggest surprise because bottom line is he's healthy now.
Wasn't the surprise to me because I told you that the year before he got hurt, he was a 25-100 guy, and right, you kind of didn't think he was going to be able to duplicate that.
I didn't, and because considering the terrible injury he had inside the shoulder, Strasburg could make it. You can make an argument that Gio Gonzalez could make that All-Star game, too.
Oh, absolutely. So, 5-1
yeah,
so far.
Yeah.
ERA of under 2, right. Absolutely.
And it'll be interesting to see how far you know, these guys can go.
Davey Johnson, the one thing that came to the forefront in the Friday night game against the Orioles, Jackson couldn't get a bunt down. Desmond couldn't get a bunt down. Espinoza couldn't get a bunt down. One thing I know about him from covering him in the past, he does not tolerate fundamental gaffes.
That's true. And, you know, the question I have is, and I asked Davey Johnson this after the game on Friday, how long does his patience last? Because he's been a patient guy. And it can last, but so long. Because I'll say it again, I mean, the offense has been sputtering all year long. And you got to ask yourself, how long can you stick with Espinoza, who's been striking out a lot? You got to get the middle of the order together, because it hasn't been doing the job, especially Ryan Zimmerman since he's been back. So hopefully he'll get his bat going.
Well, I think he's starting to come around a little bit now. The one thing that they will get back very shortly in the next few weeks is Michael Morris.
I agree, Craig, but again,
you're not looking at that 31 home run, 90 RBI season last year as something that can continue.
You know, I think he's a really good player. But for him to, again, to be like a Vladimir Guerrero, just don't see it. I mean, I want to give people an understanding here. People have said, well, what about Alfonso Soriano? He was not a difference maker because the team didn't win. And with Vladimir Guerrero, I felt that, I mean, you should have seen it. Once Vladimir Guerrero left the Expos, that team went downhill quick. And they missed him right away. It didn't take a few weeks, a few months. It was right away. And that's what I mean by a difference maker. They need a guy where you could say, wow, man, he is the reason this team is winning. I don't think they have that right now.
Well, I think if you're looking for difference makers, I could say your whole starting staff is pretty much a difference maker for this club.
For a starting staff, but how far can it go? You can win, but so many 1-0 games. This is not the 1960s where Sandy Koufax and Don Drysdale were winning 1-0 games. I mean, this is and baseball now is teams filled with offense, and to me, that's the key.
Well, I will say this about Michael Morris, and whether or not you feel like he's a difference maker or not, when you take your cleanup hitter out of the lineup and he hasn't played all year, that's part of the reason why this offense is struggling. Now, there are certain other parts of the offense that really need to get going. We know that. But we always wondered what this guy would be like if he got a whole season of at-bats, 500, 550, and he proved it last year.
Yes, he did. But you know, again, it's 1 year. 1 year. And I'm not saying I don't believe in Michael Morris, but I'm just saying do it year after year after year. You know, that's when I'll say, okay, yes, Michael Morris is a difference maker. Vladimir Guerrero did it every year. So that's just what I saw. He is my standard when it comes to offense.
All right, big stretch of games coming up for the Nationals. Phillies next week, going to be against Miami again. And you're going to start getting into this division. And the one team all of a sudden that everybody expects to win is now starting to get hot a little bit, and that's the Phillies.
Well, yeah, but, you know, again, I want to wait and see when Ryan Howard, Chase Utley get healthy, see how far they can go. I'm still not impressed with what they have right now. Once they get their guys together, then I'll say, okay, the Phillies are still the Phillies. I'm still worried about the Marlins. The Marlins are getting hot. The Braves, you can never underestimate them. So let's see what goes on there.
Real quick, Chenming Wong, about ready to come back and get into this pitching staff again, coming off the injury and the hamstring. Where does he fit in?
I think he's going to the bullpen, Craig, because there's no one in that rotation that deserves to leave the rotation and go in the bullpen. I'm sorry. He's got to be in the bullpen.
So I'm assuming when he comes back, Ryan Perry goes out.
Oh, yeah, don't question about it. I mean, Davey Johnson doesn't even use him, and when he does, he gets hit hard.
Okay, Craig Heist with Bill Latz and MLB.com. Thanks a lot for another enjoyable 10 minutes that I had to spend with you.
Thanks a lot, Craig.